Welcome to For the Record. My name is Vanessa Ibarra, and my guest on the show today is entrepreneur Sherry Hansen, co-founder of Reach Group Consulting, as well as co-author of the book Mind Your X and Y's. Today we'll be talking about the needs of Generation X and Y and how they've drastically changed from that of their parents, otherwise known as the baby boomers. We'll also be looking at how to market to a technology-savvy generation, as well as a free agent formula, a six-step guide Sherry and her business partner Lisa Johnson put together to help entrepreneurs stand out in the workforce. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Vanessa. Nice to join you.
Nice to join you, too. So to start off, just in case some of our listeners aren't aware, Generation X and Y is referring to today's age group of 18 to 40-year-olds. And
nice.
I understand, Sherry, you fall into Generation Y yourself.
I don't, actually. I'm Generation X.
Oh, Generation X.
I am
okay.
Generation X.
So what, for our listeners, what's the exact age group of Generation X?
Well, you know, everyone defines it a little bit differently, but Generation X is traditionally born before 1976.
Okay, gotcha. And then,
that's the cutoff. And then Gen Y is 1976 until about 2000. But some people define it a little differently. Some people go up to 1979. In our book, one thing we did is we defined both Generation X and Y. We put them together and we call them the connected generation.
Okay. Because, yeah, I can't really see too many differences between the two. You know, we still are in the same kind of mindset.
That's right. There are some subtle differences, but overall, there are a lot of similarities.
Okay, so leading into, we're going to talk about your book here. As baby boomers, our parents, move past their peak spending years, they begin to think about retirement. Marketers are focusing their attention on a new generation, as we mentioned, the X and Y. And that's where your company, Reach Group Consulting, comes in, helping entrepreneurs successfully market their products to our generation. So before we dive into the free agent formula, which is one of Reach Group Consulting's more recent projects, let's look back at the book you co-wrote called Minding Your X and Y's, because I understand it was the findings in this book that led to the creation of the free agent formula.
That's right. So as we were writing Mind Your X's and Y's, we interviewed all these really interesting people and companies. We were doing case studies on them, and we were learning why they had these brands, the Gen X and Y, the connected generation, were so attracted to. And as we were doing this research, we collected all this other information that we didn't use in the book, but we started to apply it to our own business. So we saw all these ways that these entrepreneurs were attracting people to their brands and getting people excited about them beyond the fact that they had great products. And so we really started to sit down and look at some of these techniques. And as I said, we started to apply them to our business. We started to tell our friends and fellow entrepreneurs about them as well. And they were really getting more success in their careers as well. They would have more people contacting them for projects. They were getting more fans, more customers. Things were starting to come together for them with these techniques. And as we sat down and we really put the pieces together, we realized we actually had a six-step formula. And it's tailored to an individual. You put together the pieces that work for you. And we had this great product that came out of all our research for Mind Your X's and Y's.
So going back to the book here, how did you go about collecting the information? How long did it take, and what kind of outlets did you use?
Well, deadlines are great motivators. So it was, we did it pretty fast, to be honest with you. It was about 5 or 6 months that we did all the initial work on it, and it was a combination of in-depth interviews, observation, and research, and it was, we like to think of it like a big treasure hunt. We talked to smart people. We learned lessons from them. We looked at what was going on in pop culture. We talked to people in this generation. And we found a lot of these niche brands that have now gone really mainstream. So, for example, we were looking at MySpace before it tipped, especially as it relates to music marketing. We were looking at Wikipedia before it went mainstream, and even Facebook, which at the time we were doing our research was still only for American college students, and it hadn't gone anywhere. So we did all this work and all this research, and then we wrote like crazy, and then after that there were a series of edits, which is a process you traditionally go through with a major publisher. But I'd say the whole process was maybe done within about a year, which is really fast for a book.
So that's interesting, because so this was in 2006, so Wikipedia and Facebook still hadn't taken off, and look how far they've gone in 4 years.
Exactly. It's amazing.
So how many people did you have working on this project?
It was just Lisa Johnson and myself. It was the two of us.
Wow, so you devoted a whole year to it kind of thing.
We did. It was fun. I love to just immerse myself in something like that. And as I said, it really did feel like a treasure hunt, because we talked to these interesting people and we were looking at these great brands. And then it was so much fun to find the patterns that we saw within all the case studies.
So what was the one thing at the end of the day that sticks out in your mind after all the research for 1 year? What was the biggest thing you took away from working on the book that is vital for entrepreneurs to know?
I think the most exciting thing for us was that it all came together and that there was a pattern to the buying habits and the cravings of this generation. And as I said before, to be clear, Generation X and Y are a bit different, but we put them together as a worldview. And so if you're in the connected generation, you share this worldview. And the thing that defines this worldview are these five values. And those values are experience, transparency, reinvention, connection, and expression. And if those are values that you share, we say you're part of the connected generation. So you could be 65 and still share this worldview. But when we found this pattern and we found these values, that was really exciting to us because those still apply. Even as people now know about Facebook and it's not maybe as exciting to them as it once was, those five values are still applicable.
So would you say with today's technology, people are connected a lot more than we used to be?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're connected online, obviously, through Facebook and all kinds of different social networking sites. Twitter is a really new one, obviously, that's broken in the last couple of years. They're also finding new ways to connect, though, offline. I mean, as we were starting to write the book, things like flash mobs were developing and meetup groups. And so there's both this online side to it, and then there's a really parallel offline side where people still do want to connect in person.
So when you have entrepreneurs coming to you, you know, we want to try and connect to the younger demographic, is it always the first thing you mentioned, go online? Can anyone ever really succeed in the workforce without, or the market force, I should say, without going online?
In what sense do you mean going
online? I guess for marketing, like people having websites now. It seems every company out there, you know, even for my dry cleaner on the corner store,
right,
has a website. So is it possible to get by, to do well without websites? Like, or do you think it's vital for everyone starting in this day and age, you need a website?
That's a good question. I think as a blanket statement, I would say everyone does need a website. Because, for example, in the building I live in, you know, they put out the yellow pages once a year, and people are not taking the yellow pages anymore. People go online to find their information. And so just as a basic destination, you really need to have, I would say, a site that gives the very basic information about your company, where it is, what's behind it, how people can reach you. And then from there, what else you add on in terms of social networking or other bells and whistles on your site is really individual. On the flip side, though, I don't know if you've ever heard about groups, for example, where there are some chefs locally, I think this began in New York, but now it's here in Vancouver as well, who put on these really elaborate meals in their own home. And it's very underground, and it's invitation and only, and you would never find a website for that. And there's a real cool factor and cachet to that. So at this point, not having a website for something like that is also a really strong marketing technique.
Well, I remember when I took marketing, they had said still, word of mouth is one of the most vital ways of marketing to this day.
Absolutely.
So what is the biggest complaint you've heard from today's entrepreneurs about connecting with the younger demographic?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions, and I think sometimes people think that Generation Y especially is distracted, and they want all kinds of responsibility all of a sudden, and they don't know how to connect with them. They think they're fairly flighty, and they want the flavor of the month, and I don't know that that's necessarily true. And so it's really important to understand what shaped Generation Y and Generation X, the connected generation, why they have the worldview they do, and why they're craving the things they do.
So it's all about, I guess, entrepreneurs trying to connect, like you said, with younger demographics. Because my mom will say, like, you're always on the internet, what are you doing there? But she never really takes the time to actually find out what I'm doing on there. So is it almost, they feel like it's over their head, some of the, let's say, baby boomers?
Exactly. I think understanding is so key. You have to understand why this generation is online all the time and what that means to them and how they grew up surrounded by technology, and that for this generation, technology doesn't disconnect them from people, which is something that I think baby boomers and an older generation might feel. They think technology is a barrier between people. But the connected generation sees it as a way to get closer to the people who matter to them.
So your company has had success with quite well-known companies such as Motorola Razr, Chipotle Mexican Grill, Target, and Red Bull Energy Drink, to name a few. Tell me about the Motorola Razr, the case study you saw on that.
Yeah, this is one we wrote about in the book. And so, again, I mean, the iPhone has come along and blown everyone out of the water, but at the point that we were working on the book, Motorola was having great success with this Razr cell phone. And the reason they did this is because before that, everyone who developed cell phones was really working on features. They wanted to just put in all these features and make them really complicated, and you almost needed a giant manual to figure out how to work your phone. But Motorola, what they did is they focused on design. They decided that for this new Razr, what we are going to do is really look at how do we make the thinnest, lightest, sleekest, sexiest phone possible. And so they put all their development money, they really focused on creating this tiny, thin, light phone. And they did it. They pushed their technology to a new level, and people really responded to it. No longer was a cell phone this bulky object that you stuffed in your pocket. It was sleek, and it was colored, and it was thin, and it was really attractive to people. And so they used design as a key differentiator for their business, and it took them a great distance, and it worked really well for the company.
Any other companies that stick out in your mind, like Nike, Red Bull, you know, that have they've just always done it right?
Well, Apple is such a classic example. I mean, they have it going on because they've got two sides of the equation. They've got the design, which everyone loves. It's simple. It's beautiful. Your computer finally looks good when you pull it out of the bag. The new iPad is sleek, and everyone's excited about it. On the other side, their products work. They're intuitive. You use design in order to figure out how to move things around on your screen. So they have both. They have the strong marketing, and they have the products to back them up, and that is a killer formula.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, I'm going to be asking Sherry who exactly Generation X and Y are. What are our wants? What are our needs? We're also going to be breaking down the free agent model, learning the 6 steps for budding entrepreneurs to make it in today's market. Stay with us. Welcome back to For the Record. My name is Vanessa Ibarra, and my guest on the show today is Sherry Hansen, co-founder of the firm Reach Group Consulting, helping entrepreneurs successfully market their products in today's generation. She is also the co-author of the book Minding Your X and Y, Satisfying the 10 Cravings of a Modern Generation. So, Sherry, let's look at today's Generation X and Y, these people you're helping entrepreneurs connect with. Who are they? What are their wants and needs, and how are they different from their parents? That's a lot of questions, but hopefully you can break it down for us.
Yeah, that's a juicy question, Vanessa. Well, first of all, I think it's really important to say that I can give you some characteristics, but obviously a generation, everyone is different. You know, there are these blanket things, but every individual is different. So collectively, though, if we start to look at these generations, Gen X, for example, is really interested in autonomy. They want to work independently. They're very interested in learning. Generation X, for example, is probably the most educated generation in history. The classic example is the PhD student working at McDonald's. They were always overeducated and underemployed. They're also interested in flexibility and fun and excitement. The in-office foosball table was definitely a Generation X development. Now, if we look at Y, which I think we're a little bit more focused on, we have to look at their environment. So their parents, baby boomers, have had unprecedented amounts of disposable income. Obviously, the financial crisis has changed this to some extent. But these kids were given so much love and encouragement, and they were enrolled in all sorts of after-school activities. They were told they could do anything. They've been very protected. And up until 9/11, they really lived in quite a peaceful world. At the same time, though, they've dealt with a lot of difficult things going on, such as environmental degradation, polarized politics, now the threat of terrorism. So as a group, they really crave achievement. They like structure. They've often watched their parents work so hard and not have a lot of time at some point, so they really crave work-life balance. They value collaboration. They were brought up in schools where there was a lot of emphasis on group work and working together. They also really are interested in self-expression, expressing what matters to them. They crave respect. They really want to do work that matters, and they want their lives to matter. They're on a mission. And you see that often, too, in they do a lot of volunteer work and very hands-on volunteer work. Now, if you look at baby boomers, for example, they were much more interested in earning your place in the world, not jumping right to it. They really value professional development. They also like to work in teams, but teams that are often a bit more hierarchical. They want consensus. They don't really believe that everyone can have a different opinion and work closely together. They often want everyone to have the same consensus, and they want recognition for the work they've done.
So what do you think brought on this change all of a sudden from the boomers to Generation X and Y? Like what shifted this change in mentality?
Well, I think there are a lot of factors. Some of it is economic. I mean, baby boomers really had great economic advantages. And again, this is a blanket statement. Lots of people didn't. But as a group, they came of age in a time where, for example, if you went to university and you pursued an advanced degree, you were recruited as soon as you left school and recruited heavily. And you were quickly able to really get your foot in the door in life and in your work. And that gave them a lot of stability, and they passed that on to their kids. Whereas they were brought up by parents who lived through the Depression and lived through really difficult times and lived through wars. And so I think you both pass on an economic reality, and then you also pass on a sense of comfort or discomfort and a sense of culture.
So when we're talking about boomers to Generation X, do you think that's be the biggest jump we'll see in a while in history? Is there going to be another big, you know, A to B step like that?
That's hard to say without a crystal ball, isn't it? But I think, again, every generation is different, and the factors in the world that shape these generations are different. So, for example, will the current economic collapse, will that affect the generation that is now in elementary school and junior high school? Yes, it might. A lot of these kids are being, especially in the U.S., are being brought up with needing things and not having things that the generation before them did. And so that could affect them again. Global politics will affect them. So I think you're just going to continue to see shifts in these generations.
So let's go back to your firm, Reach Group Consulting, and you're helping entrepreneurs get in touch with the generations. Can you mention about the push versus pull marketing force?
Absolutely. Well, the idea of push marketing is an older sense of marketing, and it's the idea that in order to get customers or consumers to buy your products or services, you need to get in front of them as often as possible. You need billboards. You need to be loud. You need to yell at them. You need to get in their face. Versus pull marketing is the idea that you want to pull people into things that they're interested in. So if they love iPhones, they will come to you. They'll seek out the extra features and the information and share ideas with their friends and make it viral. So it's the sense of either pushing ideas at someone or pulling them in with the things that they crave.
So your book states the buying habits of 18 to 40-year-olds can be anticipated. So what do you mean by that?
I think we developed and we found in all the research we did these 10 cravings. So, for example, one of our cravings is for, we call it Give Me Brand Candy, and it's the idea that design is really something that sets products apart, just as we discussed with the Motorola Razr. So, for example, if someone is faced with two products in this generation and one of those products has better design, they will go with a product that's better designed over and over and over again. So when you put all these cravings together and you apply them to real-world situations, you can see the choices that people are going to make.
Okay, so let's talk on the free formula here. We don't really have time to break it down too much, but I'm just going to list the six here. Discover your strengths, number one. Build a business with heat. Expand your revenue models. Package your products and services. Become a trusted expert in your field and put your plan in motion. I know you've had a lot of success with this plan, but how is this formula different than others that have been out there probably for 10, 20, you know, 30 years?
The real key is that this formula is tailored, and it assumes that you are not necessarily going to the bank to get a whole bunch of capital and a giant loan to open a big shop, for example. Perhaps you're a graphic designer, and all you really need is your computer and your skills. But then what do? What do you focus on? How do you market yourself? How do you work without getting burnt out? And so the six steps of the formula teach you, in your own way, how to make your business work. It's tailored for entrepreneurs and individuals and consultants, and it takes these six steps and you put them together and you end up with a step-by-step map that helps you make decisions in your business. It also takes advantage of all the new online tools and platforms that have been developed in the last couple of years and really shows you how to leverage them.
Now, with these six steps, obviously, you know, you can follow the six steps, but at the end of the day, it takes hard work. Do you think our generation is as willing to work as hard as our parents?
That's a good question, isn't it? I think it is, absolutely. I think this generation is still very interested in hard work. I think there's a few key differences, though, in the way they work. I think the world is a little different in the sense that it takes longer to get where you're going now. Things have just been delayed a little bit. The economic realities are tougher. And I think hard work looks different than it did in the past, and that's where people they stumble a little. You know, you're not going to join a company and work there for 4 years and end up with a pension and a gold watch. You are going to work for a number of different companies. You're going to give them your best. You're going to move on. But you have to create your own career as a free agent, whether you work within a company or you're an entrepreneur. And that's a really different shift. And so I think The other thing people forget is that everyone in their 20s is figuring things out. Every generation had to figure things out in their 20s, and the generation before them thought they were flighty, and that's just how it works. But I think, yes, absolutely, your generation is still very much driven by hard work.
It's kind of an irony because technology, you think we'd be moving faster to move up the ladder, you know, but actually as baby boomers, when life was slower, but like you said, they move up the corporate ladder faster.
Yes, I think that's true. And technology has advantages and disadvantages. For example, Gen Y especially are unbelievable multitaskers. They can juggle tasks with great ease. The flip side of that, if it's not done well, however, is they can look distracted and they can look like they're not really focused on anything. And so the key is to really harness the best parts of that experience with technology.
So winding down here, but a few more questions. Is it harder, would you say, for brands, marketers, to have original products these days? Is it harder to maintain originality when things are coming so fast, you know, new products are coming out on the market every week?
I don't know if it's necessarily harder to have original products. I think the key is to make sure that, one, you have the goods to back up your marketing. If your product doesn't work, if it's boring, if it's ugly, it doesn't matter what your marketing looks like. And so I think you have to make sure your product is solid. And then secondly, the marketing. I think, one, again, you have to entertain Generation X and Y. You have to show them that you understand them, that you're not speaking down to them. And again, one of those values that we talked about earlier is transparency. You have to be honest. This generation is so savvy. They've been bombarded with media images. They really understand advertising. And so if you lie, if you fake something, they will call you out so fast. So be honest.
It's funny. I'm reading the book, The Millionaire Mind, right now, and that was the number one thing they said, transparency.
It's huge. It's really a big deal. And even if something fails, if something falls down, but a company or a brand or an individual admits it, people have the capacity to forgive. What they really don't like is being lied to. And I think that's such a key point.
So what future projects are you and your business partner, Lisa Johnson, working on right now?
Oh, well, we are working on a live camp based on the free agent formula. We're calling it the Modern Entrepreneur Camp. And we're going to take a series of entrepreneurs through the formula and then document this process on a blog. We both also have a couple new book projects in the works. Lisa is working on a book about storytelling as it relates to brand marketing. And I am working on a book that's looking at how creative professionals make their own businesses work, kind of as an off-spin of the free agent formula. So it's also based on a blog I have called Inspired Outsiders.
Well, that sounds interesting. We look forward to that, Sherry. That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank Sherry Hansen for joining me. To learn more about the free agent formula, the 6 breakout strategies for the modern entrepreneur, visit freeagentformula.com. And to learn more about Sherry Hansen and Lisa Johnson's consulting firm, visit reachgroupconsulting.com. This is For the Record. I'm Vanessa Ibarra.